Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Elliot, Control C, Control V. We've all done it. That's how you replicate online.
That is so true, right? And, you know, it's easy to do that. But when it comes to creating an interesting digital image, that one is not so easy, a little bit more complicated, but it's almost costless when you eventually do it.
Yeah, it's so easy and you think it's for free, right? But as a result, it's nearly impossible for a digital artist to make money from one image, unlike a painter or a sculptor, right? Yeah. And the real possibility of costless infinite duplication becomes, removes any scarcity value in the original digital artwork.
Okay, what we're alluding to really is, this is how we have NFTs or non-fungible tokens, because these seemingly offer a straightforward solution to the problem that we just talked about.
Yeah, if we break it down to its most simple form, NFTs provide a unique marker. Think like a barcode that essentially provides proof that a piece of digital artwork, like a JPEG file, for example, is the original.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Google searches for NFTs have seen it growing more than 300% from December to February this year.
For a market which is relatively new to the world, it grew 299% last year, 2020, indicating its potential to become the next leading asset class for the virtual economy, especially among the Gen Z and millennial gaming and collectibles communities.
So what is causing the rise of NFTs, and, well, how can brands fit this new trend into their existing business offerings? Perhaps we can get some answers from Michael Payson, who is a founder and president of Culture Group. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fantastic. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you so much for taking the time this Monday morning. NFTs is what we're talking about. Brand new trend. Some people call it crypto collectibles. Gosh, I'm not sure if asking you to define it is good enough. Perhaps you can explain to us the craze behind NFTs.
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure. And I think there's no bigger story in Q1 in terms of, you know, media technology and digital assets than what we're seeing in NFTs. So a non-fungible token, much like you guys just described, is a digital ownership certificate that allows somebody to own a digital asset. And when we talk about digital assets, we might be talking about a piece of art, we might be talking about a piece of music, or we might be talking about something that lives in a virtual world. Within a video game, for example, a piece of digital clothing. And what's amazing right now is not only the growth in all of this technology and the adoption of this behavior among Gen Z, but specifically how meaningful these digital assets are to people, even though they don't exist in the physical world.
Wow. So this is something that has obviously gained a lot of attention internationally. But what I'm quite curious about is Southeast Asia in particular, particularly because we know that some of the people who bid on a work by Beeple recently, they come from this part of the world. Is it particularly exciting here?
It certainly is. And you know, my company, Culture Group, sits at the forefront of that. We're a pop culture marketing agency, really bridging the world of brand, culture, and business, specifically here in Southeast Asia and headquartered in Singapore. So we have a front row seat to not only the behavior taking place, but also the demand. 25% of Southeast Asian consumers will be under the age of 25 within the next 5 years. So we have the explosive emerging consumer class, and these young people want to own virtual items. And the reason they want to own virtual items is because they exist largely in a virtual world. So on the one hand, we have all of these Gen Z consumers in Southeast Asia who love entertainment and pop culture, who are fans, who are engaging in digital transactions day to day, and they want to own these unique digital assets. On the other side, you've got really wealthy guys, like we saw a couple of weeks ago, the person who spent almost $70 million on a piece of artwork for Beeple. And all of that is really fueled by, I would say, two major forces. Right? Number one would be the adoption of blockchain technology. That technology allows people to secure digital ownership of virtual goods. Everybody talks about Bitcoin these days, but ultimately Ethereum is a digital currency that can be programmed with a smart contract. That smart contract allows people to have specific ownership of a digital item. The second major force is really the growth of what everybody calls the metaverse, which is a virtual world influenced heavily by video games and representing a much larger virtual economy where consumers are playing games and interacting with each other. Those two trends, blockchain and metaverse, are really the foundation of what we're seeing today.
Not sure I'm ready for that world. But Michael, could you describe to us the different types of NFTs that we could own? Because you said they are virtual items. So, well, what kind of items are these?
Sure. Well, I'll give you a really simple example. So Taco Bell, which is an American fast food chain, they're probably the best known example. They have what I would say is a cult following of millennial and Gen Z consumers. They auctioned off 25 tokens representing digital art of their logo and of their food. Because they have this cult following, people want to own those digital assets. Now, what's really, really special is not only are you owning a piece of digital art, which you can keep in a digital wallet, because of that smart contract on the blockchain, your ownership of that piece of digital art entitles you to future benefits. So almost think of this as a super enhanced loyalty program. If you're a brand selling an NFT to a consumer, or if you're a musician or a K-pop artist selling an NFT to a consumer. So we're going to see any form of media that might exist in a world in which you can rent it by listening to a stream, or you could watch it, you could see it in a museum. Now people will be have the opportunity to own those digital items.
Michael, if I become world famous one day, could my first ever voice demo be considered an NFT?
It absolutely could be, and I think you are world famous right now, so don't sell yourself short.
Get ready.
I'm ready. I think the world is ready for you. So anything can be issued as a digital token, but we also have to recognize just because something can be issued doesn't mean that it's going to have value. Of course, I'm not referring to you.
This is just incredible. But it sounds like there's nothing but upside here. But what are the challenges that might be faced, you know, getting brands on board? And what about the skepticism around NFTs? There is some.
Well, I think we're seeing a tremendous amount of excitement around the space, but that also brings with it some risks, right? So anytime we have a large portion of society moving into a new asset class, it's going to create either a bubble or it's going to create a lot of froth and a lot of excitement. And I think that the largest risk right now is that you know, these NFTs could be overvalued, number one. Number two, you know, regulators and local governments haven't necessarily figured out how they want to apply their policies to assets that live in the digital world. So I would say both of those are going to be challenging in the midterm and need to be figured out. But for younger people specifically in Southeast Asia, I think this is a huge opportunity to leapfrog, you know, the traditional behavior that old people like myself went through when we were collecting baseball cards or basketball cards or comic books, and people will have the ability to start collecting digital items of the things that they love the most. And the reason that's important is that consumers in Southeast Asia have tremendous, tremendous share of eye and share of ear and share of wallet when it comes to passion points, whether it's esports and games, music and K-pop. So they're spenders, and now we know that they're going to want to be collectors.
Okay, maybe I'm being a bit of a simpleton about this, but I guess it's because so many of the stories around NFTs that are making the headlines at the moment involve really large sums of money. So my question is it a fair market? Does everyone have access? Because we're talking about, I mean, you're talking about the younger generation, and we're also talking about some countries in Southeast Asia that have different multiples when it comes to income. So what is the conversation around fairness in this market?
Sure. Well, I think at its core, you know, you could make the argument that it's tremendously fair because it's an open market. You've seen some NFTs, right? People and the artwork that was sold to a crypto billionaire here in Singapore for $70 million. But we've also seen musicians like Blau, who issued, you know, a couple hundred tokens. They started off at a very low price, and then they were sold in a secondary market for a larger price. In developing economies, emerging markets, or markets that have younger consumers, I think we're likely to see a different approach. I think we're likely to see tokens that are issued for mass appeal, first and foremost, and I think we're likely to see tokens that carry additional benefits down the line. So it's not just buying a digital asset. It's really buying a digital asset and the right to an exclusive benefit or a unique item at a later date. So think of it as a Gen Z warrant, if you will. So you're going to buy a digital asset. You might also have a right to a meet and greet with an artist or a special on-field experience or a special pre-sale window for concert tickets if you're a performing artist later on.
Interesting. Michael, I'm curious, what's the experience like as a consumer if I'm buying or trading one of these NFTs? I mean, it's not like I invite people to my house to show it off, right?
Correct. Absolutely not. So all of these transactions are taking place digitally and in the virtual world. And the user experience is fairly seamless. You've got a couple of really interesting platforms globally, Nifty Gateway being a large example of one, where you can go to purchase and or to trade NFTs. When you purchase an NFT online, it is issued by, you know, somebody who is registering that NFT with the blockchain. That NFT is then emailed to you, right? A link is emailed to you. You can go onto that link and you can download the NFT, and then it gets stored into a virtual wallet. So today we walk around with a physical wallet. That virtual wallet is really your virtual lockbox for all the special items that you've accumulated or you've bought online. You then have the opportunity later on to sell that asset or that digital item to a second or a third party for a higher or lower value.
So, Michael, yeah, it's very interesting. What I'm really curious about is, you know, so I help my children with their homework quite a bit. No, I don't do their homework for them. But one of the things that obviously kids do, you know, when they're making a project or something is something we've all done, which is, you know, Control or Command C and then Command V, right? If we are doing this from the internet when we are trying to source material or we're trying to fill out stories or projects, will we start having to pay for rights to access these sorts of things if this idea of an NFT or this ownership online becomes more prevalent?
I think a lot of IP owners would love that you would pay for it, but the reality is I don't see that happening in the near future. This is going to ultimately give IP owners a greater opportunity to monetize unique items. When it comes to something that's in the public domain, I think you could expect that in the future it's going to continue to be free or free to access. So in terms of your children's homework and finding unique collectibles online, I think that you'll be all right.
Okay, that's a relief.
Michael, you mentioned, and there are a lot of brands now looking to make use of NFTs to create valuable art. Taco Bell was one that you mentioned earlier on. This idea of a blockchain sort of ledger, is it the answer to potential hacking since all of this exists in the online sphere?
I think it's an answer to hacking. It's also an answer to some tremendous logistical challenges that we have, you know, specifically in Southeast Asia. So whether we're talking, you know, Indonesia or Philippines or Malaysia, you know, we have people who are accessing the digital world in different ways. They have different payment gateways. There are physical challenges relative to loyalty cards or issuing consumer promotions in certain markets, especially in the COVID era. And I think that the digitization of that is going to provide a kind of a leapfrogging effect. So we're going to, you know, hurdle right past all the logistical challenges of, you know, kind of the final inch of reaching consumers and their thumb and the button on their phone. And we're going to ultimately be able to connect millions of consumers to brands. And I think that brands are going to get wise to that. And I think the first brands who are going to get wise to that are going to be brands that are moving quickly, i.e., you know, fast casual, fast moving consumer goods, beverage brands, and those that want to develop a direct relationship with their consumer.
Yeah, it's been remarkable looking at headlines around digital fashion and all these sorts of things. But finally, I want to ask you a question, which isn't just about consumer brands. It's about an issue that affects us very directly. There's been a lot of talk around fake news and general fakery online. The advent of NFTs and their increasing popularity, will it help us combat these sorts of problems?
We all certainly hope so. And as we mentioned before, you know, there is bound to be an incident or a series of incidents online in which some bad actors are looking to take advantage of the hype around this space. But as the industry develops, as the consumer behavior develops, and as the knowledge base develops, not only by the consumer, but the issuer of the token, we think that there is going to be fewer and fewer cases of fraud in the future. And I think that this presents an opportunity for people to have a much more secure relationship with a piece of digital currency or a secure relationship with a brand or an IP owner like a music artist or a record label than they would normally have. And anybody who's ever gone to a concert, for example, knows how challenging it is not only to get concert tickets, but to make sure that they're real and then to get to the stadium and you're handing a paper ticket to somebody. I think NFTs are going to be a huge opportunity to digitize that process. So that's one really good example of how consumers will actually be impacted positively rather than negatively.
Yeah, and it saves space too.
Yes.
Michael Payton, founder and president of Culture Group, on the line with us. Michael, really appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg.
or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.